You're listening to The Mumcast, the best weekly comic book podcast recorded in Southampton, England on Thursday nights. In our 222nd episode, we talk about this week's comics, and in this week's spotlight, James talks about Grendel Archives. Around the mic tonight are...
Hello, I'm James.
All right, we're doing that now, are we? Hello, I'm Nick.
Hello, I'm Jane.
First.
Yeah, that was really rushed in there. Jane, when you said Grendel Archives,
yeah.
Did you remember to put the comma in between the two words? Because it's apparently supposed to be said Grendel Archives.
I didn't remember. I said it how I saw it.
Well, you two can pretty much just knob off.
James will be on his own in this room.
Oh,
talking
it's my
about
dream.
Grendel.
Hello, and welcome to the James Cast.
He'll be wanking in 30 seconds, and that's it. And then paranoid about there being a camera in here.
Wanking
and then he'll smash up the computers.
Wanking in 30 seconds should have been one of the sequels, shouldn't it?
Like, oh, we're doing this then.
There's a prequel, isn't it? The prequel building up to 60 seconds.
Now sequel humour is acceptable, but apparently 2 minutes
ago... You started the trend.
2 minutes ago, sequel humour was passé.
You started the trend.
And now we're building on it, adapting it, until it's serviceable by the masses.
Arse biscuits.
You're serviceable by the masses.
Given half a chance, dear.
How are you two? How have your weeks been?
As James is drinking his delicious non-flavoured water beverage.
Drench. It's not drench, it was out of the machine at work.
I have a cold. Apparently I just like being ill all the time.
Oh, I didn't know you liked it.
Well, apparently, because I keep getting ill. So that's lovely. And what have I done this week? Oh, been ill.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's pretty much what happened all week.
Oh, okay.
You've moaned a lot about it. That's something you've done.
Yeah, because it's annoying because I still have to go to work.
James, what have you had to do?
Well, I've had stuff to moan about.
What have you had to do?
I've had stuff to moan about this week as well. I went to the dentist.
Oh.
And that was good. I don't mind the dentist, to be honest with you. So I had half day off work, which is lovely. Went to IKEA and had meatballs and mash with my wife, which was awesome. Looked at bed.
Horse meat. He had horse meat yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's meatballs, isn't it? You can't complain.
It was a dead animal of some description.
What?
Yeah, but it had equine drugs in it.
I didn't know.
Good. Apparently ketamine is the disco drug of choice now, which just means I got the popular drug for free.
When did they start doing mash there?
Always.
They've
always
mash. Done mash.
Why didn't? Because mash is much better than meatballs. Why didn't people talk about that all this time? I've never eaten it.
Mash is something you have with the meatballs.
IKEA.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh. It's very affordable. I recommend it.
It is.
Does buying dime bars there and eating them, like, all at once afterwards count as eating at IKEA?
No.
Oh, well, then no.
And I noticed that dime bars are back, because they'd gone last time I was there.
Dime?
Dame.
Dame.
There's nothing like a dame.
Isn't it armadillos? That was the advert for dime, wasn't it? Armadillos. Crunchy on the outside, smooth on the inside. Armadillos.
I never understood. That does sound like something people said over and over and over again around the time that they were launched.
It's Harry Enfield, wasn't it? They used to.
I love dime bars.
He fronted that that campaign. So that was nice.
We had a dime bar now. Mm. James, go and get us a dime bar.
We had a look at a bed that we may buy Scarlet in the future.
Yeah?
Really, yeah. Not immediately, but, you know, someone said. So, in which my wife negotiated a free replacement bed for us this week. I was very pleased.
That's quite good. How did that happen?
Cause,
did your bed break?
Yeah, and it's still in warranty. Because it broke because I'm such an expert lover.
Okay, good.
Or it could be because I'm a fat bastard and I jumped down. I slumped down on it a bit harder than I should have. And it went, oh, fucking hell, you fat bastard.
While being an expert lover.
No, I'm not a good lover.
My wife slumped down a bit hard.
My wife would testify to that. So I went to IKEA, we had the balls, we had the mash, and we had the bed looking. And then I went to the dentist, and I was only meant to have two fillings, which is fine. I'm fine with fillings. In fact, the bit I don't like most is the scrapey bit first where they clean your teeth.
Did the dentist do that?
They never clean my teeth.
Because it used to be one appointment, but every time I've been recently, they say, oh, you've got to book in with a hygienist, and that'll be another £158.
No, they...
Really? Crap, are you NHS or private?
I made that. I don't know the number. It was more than I wanted to pay, so I just haven't been back.
Which was zero.
Yeah.
Well, two fillings and a clean was £49. And I was happy enough with the two fillings. She did the drilling, which is fine. I don't mind. I had Novocaine.
Does it smell a bit like curry?
What, his mouth?
No, the drill.
No.
Oh, okay.
Smelt like dentists.
A lot of dental work as a youngster, and the drill, a specific kind of drill, always smelt a bit like curry.
That's weird.
But I've not had any drilling in my teeth since.
Could it be that your teeth smelt like curry?
No, it was definitely the instruments.
Oh, okay. So I had the drilling, and then she was just about... She'd put some metal in my mouth. She went, oh, the bottom one is a bit loose. Do you want it out? I'm like, well, all right. Not really thinking about it. So she put the filling in my top one, and then she extracted the tooth from the back of my mouth on the bottom set. Now, I'd not had a tooth extracted before, but that's... you've had it done, that's an experience, isn't it?
Was it your wisdom tooth? Well, the very, very back tooth.
Right, yeah, the very back one.
And you've
never
had your wisdom tooth taken out before?
No.
Oh, gosh, that's...
I haven't had my wisdom tooth, no, I don't know.
You didn't get any?
I don't think so, no, I'm not very wise.
I don't know if it's a wisdom tooth or just the back tooth.
Because you have all your teeth, and then as you, in your late teens, early 20s, you then get another final set of teeth in the back.
I never got more teeth, it's just she's taken out the back tooth.
So one of your wisdem teeth, then?
I don't know whether it's a wisdom
tooth. This conversation is totally giving me the fear.
No, I've just said I didn't get more teeth.
You didn't get your wisdom teeth, then?
I don't think so, no. I'm not a dental expert, so I can't...
No, that's just interesting. That's unusual.
On Monday's episode of Two Grown Men, James and I will be discussing what we are now starting to think of as the wisdom teeth myth that everyone else is just trying to incept
us
with.
No, I've got them.
Well, that's your part of the Matrix, trying to tell us that people get
wisdom.
Do you
want to see if we count our teeth after this, so we know?
Well, it'd be easier for me, because I've got one less. So she extracted it, and I took over an hour to stop bleeding.
Yeah?
Face full of Novocaine. And she said to me, oh,
you might have a lungworm.
You're taking...
Oh, my God, Nick, don't tell him that.
My dog had lungworm years ago.
No, I know. Mm. Well, I didn't know that, but mine did too.
I don't often French kiss it, so I probably didn't. I probably didn't get it off her. Well, no, there was that time.
Dentist, please get to the point.
Over an hour to pull it out. It was over an hour to stop bleeding. She said to me, you're bleeding. And I said, yeah, I'm on blood pressure medicine. Oh, yeah, the same blood pressure medicine I told you about last time I came and you typed into your computer.
So you check the computer.
No, and I did try. They tried to x-ray me and I kept gagging, so they couldn't x-ray me.
I've told you about your sense of humour. You've got to just get it under control.
I've got a very sensitive gag reflex. It's my gag reflex being set off when I talk about the segment we like to call Put Something in James's Mouth.
Okay, are you done with your week?
I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we can say he is.
We sorted out our house so that we could get estate agents round to look at it and tell us how much we won't make if we sell it. I mean, we will make if we sell it.
Oh.
That was our week, that was my weekend.
When are your estate agents coming in?
They were around on Wednesday.
Were you like, God, you're estate agents?
I wasn't there. So, yeah, that was our week. And lots of baby stuff.
You still passed your test?
I passed my tests.
You've driven on your own yet?
I drove on my own to James's house at the weekend to borrow a pressure washer that I then couldn't use because I didn't have the right fitting. Might be burying the lead there a little bit. The important bit of that story is that I drove over to James's
house
and Tangled was on the telly.
If anyone's got any...
it was nice. I mean, it's a sort of, a maisonette, like the bottom floor of a house. It's quite big. They'd done some tidying up recently, but they just had a shop done.
How was driving?
Driving was good.
Did you like driving on your own?
I was surprisingly just, well, this is easy.
Well, I just know how to drive. Doesn't matter if anyone else is in the car. In fact, that's one less life I have to worry about.
I didn't mind it at all. It was good. I apparently am the sort of person who, when driving, It might be my age. It might be my maleness. It might just be the sort of person I am. But I apparently listen to music, in this case, Lonely Island, a bit louder than my wife likes to, and dance my hands on the steering wheel. That's the thing I do, apparently.
If anyone out there does have a female hose lock connector that they don't need, do feel free to DM Nick.
Yes, get in touch, if you could get in touch, because I do need that.
Because he'd really like to be able to use my power washer, but I don't have a spare female hose lock connector.
At the moment, we've got a male-to-female connection, and what we, I think, need is a female-to-female connection.
No, you need a female hose lock connector that fits on the end of a hose.
Oh, okay.
That's what you need.
So we're not going for an innuendo there, then.
Home base.
Yeah, Nick could buy one, or we could use the power of this pod and its massive reach to, I'm sure, there's probably...
Home base.
But I imagine the hose lock manufacturer's probably listening. That's Hose Lock, the excellent hose company, Hose Lock.
So anyway, we're a comic...
Hose Lock.
We're a comic book podcast. We really do need to press on. David Wynn is in town.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it, though, would you?
We're not going to see him at all.
No, he's like, I've got new friends now, nob you lot.
He didn't exactly
yes,
say
that. Yes,
he
did.
Did he? On the internet, did always, he say that?
He's always come down to see his heavy metal friends.
Because I was looking at Twitter and he actually seemed pretty upset that he wasn't going to be able to see us.
He's seeing us on Saturday.
He's seeing you guys on Saturday. I'm away. Anyway, we are a comic book podcast. We will be talking about comics in a minute. You can talk to us about comics or anything else we talk about on this show. You can do that on Twitter. I'm Nick Sight. Jane is?
Jane Mom.
James is?
Casanova.
James Mom. And there's the main Mom Comics account, which got a bit of activity because I posted 5 things on Tumblr. And suddenly we got loads of people following us on the Twitter account. It's quite good.
Why are there new listeners as a result of that?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh, hi there, new listeners. Mm. I thought you said, are there new listeners? I'll cut all this. It's fine. You can also talk to us about stuff on the show and about comics and about anything else you want by emailing us at...
momcast@gmail.com.
We also accept audio contributions for the show. 2 to 5 minutes about comics. You can choose the format and what you talk about and stuff. If you send us audio, we will put it in the show as long as it isn't like, and as long as it's not completely rubbish. Have we stopped having contributions since I started putting that caveat in? Maybe I'll just cut that caveat out.
Yeah,
as well.
Maybe.
Yes. So those are the ways you can get in contact with us. You can listen to all of the previous shows. And any shows we post in the future at the website, which is momcomics.com. There are show notes, so if you just want to jump to a particular review or something, you can do that. It's easy. It tells you what time in the show it is and everything. We are also on Facebook and Tumblr and Google+, and you can find links to those at the top right of momcomics.com. Oh, and subscribe to us at Internet Tunes and Pocket Casts and any other podcatchers. That'll be awesome. Because we're here every week, so you might as well get us in your phone or whatever it is you use to listen. Well, what do people... Does everyone just listen to stuff on their phone now?
I think so. And the podcast app on the iPhone is actually good.
Good. Good.
But the way iTunes manages podcasts on my PC, oh, my Lord.
Bloody, bloody iTunes.
Oh, man.
Right, so shall we talk about this week's comics?
Yeah.
Who's starting?
Do you want to go first, Nick?
Yes. I have a huge pile of comics. I'm not going to talk about all of them. Well, I am, but not much. Just comics that are worth mentioning because they are great. I tweeted, actually, from Starbucks yesterday because I wandered there for a quick coffee and tried to read a couple of my comics, that it was one of the bundles of comics that I was most excited, that I've been most excited by for ages and ages and ages. Because everything in it I was excited to read, so that's good. Zero by Ailes Cott, Will Tempest, Jordi Belair and Clayton Cowles. That's on number 5. It's $2.99. It's a weird secret agency espionage stuff, but really busts format onto in terms of continuity. It has a different artist every month. It's absolutely great. Ailes Cott writes the hell out of that, and it's a beautifully designed book as well. Pretty Deadly, it's number 4, it's $3.50. Kelly Sue DeConnick, Emma Rios and Jordi Belair, and Clayton Cowles again. I have talked a bit about how I wasn't sure quite what like quite whether I was going to enjoy this on the first issue. Each issue just gets better. I love it. Absolutely love it. Sex Criminals number 4, which...
I have.
Which you have. $3.50. That's by Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky. I'm still loving this book. Really, really loving it. But again, I might chime in on that when you talk about it later. And so there are those books. They're excellent. If you can get hold of the first few, then definitely pick them up. I'm at the point now. It feels like a whole bunch of them have just gone up in price, though. Was $3.50 the price point on everything before?
I think so.
I don't know. Anyway, those are the books I tend to, with Marvel books, I think now if I get to around 4 or 5 and I figure it's something everybody's kind of reading anyway, I probably won't carry on buying them. But because these are Image books and a bit more fringy and I'm still loving them, I'm not going to wait for trades on them. So a couple of books that I loved the hell out of the first issues of, but they might have fallen over Christmas when we weren't all in the same room at the same time a lot. Or I maybe didn't even talk about them at all. Dead Body Road from Image and Skybound. It's $2.99. It's issue 2. Written by Justin Jordan with art by Matteo Scalera. It's a straight-up crime thriller. Really high-octane and action-y. It's absolutely great. The setup in the first issue was that there was a heist. It kind of got a bit more murdery than one of the people involved was expecting it to. So he busted out with the money and the rest of the gangsters went after him. And at the same time, somebody who was a victim of this crime has decided he wants revenge on all of the criminals. So he's going after them as well. Starts off in a city, but now it's kind of on these backwards trails, but you know those roads in the middle of nowhere in the US with diners and stuff like that on them. It's pretty dark, a little bit like the show Banshee in tone, although with less boobies. Nice and violent, though. Really good thriller. Matteo Scalera's a really good artist. He's been really good on The Hulk recently, and I like it. It's really good. Nice crime thriller. I don't think it's ongoing, so I think it's going to make a really tight little book. The Midas Flesh, I think it's $3.99, I meant to take this out of its sleeve, by North and Paraline and Lamb. I don't know Paraline and Lamb's first names, but Ryan North of Dinosaur Comics. The first issue of this was amazing. The second issue of this was also amazing. It's the story of a very small crew of a spaceship. I think it's two women and a dinosaur, like a little raptor type dinosaur, who are on a mission to a planet to try and retrieve this weapon that has obviously devastated this planet. In the first issue, though, it kind of transpired. We found out that what this planet was and what the weapon was it was Earth. If King Midas had really existed, when he gets the power of turning everything he touches to gold, it basically goes out from him like a wave and the whole planet just got covered in gold. Just all became gold. And so the rest of the universe knows that there's this weird thing, this weird planet where if you go there, you die. But they're this crew's trying to work out this. It's really weird because the science fiction elements of it feel really robust. They're really they feel properly authentic as science fiction elements can be. But the actual interactions between all of the characters are so light. It really nicely balances the threat or menace of this sort of government force that's going to come after these three people. And we find out a little bit more about one of them who is on this mission because of some tragedy that happened to them before. So it really nicely balances the chemistry between the crew of the ship and this sort of bigger scale story that's happening. The first issue was great as well. The character of Midas takes an active role in the first issue, and it's just all of the writing around him is just lovely. The art's really interesting because it's very light and cartoony, but also really beautiful. It's really, really nice. I love it. Another book that's ongoing, that's really, really, really good is Umbral. It's number 3, came out this week. It's by Anthony Johnston and Christopher Mitten, and it's an absolutely beautiful kind of fantasy story. Quite dark, though. The stakes were raised really high in the first issue, and so now you don't really know what's going to happen to any of the characters. It's nasty, and it's interesting, and the dialogue's really good. It's kind of a little bit... although the stakes are so high, it's a little bit breezier than Wasteland, which was also by Anthony Johnston and Christopher Mitten. I really, really like this book. There was a transition at the very beginning of the book that confused me a little bit. I don't know if it was because I was reading it in quite a hurry, but it was a slight transition between flashback and a flashback and present day that I got a little bit confused by, but that's probably the reader's fault. It's probably my fault.
You're a bad reader.
It's one of the books I actually missed when the number one came out, and I was really gutted about it. So hopefully you'll collect and trade and I can pick up that way. I am also becoming more of a Comixology user.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of the ones I might check out on there. Yeah.
I really like it. I mean, Anthony Johnston does this really good job of world building. I know I've talked about it before. That he creates these really ornate worlds, quite often with languages and social structures that are quite interesting and sort of alien to us. But there's never any exposition. So it's the way world building should happen. It comes out of the events that are happening and the ongoing story. It can be a bit of a slow burn. It's not the sort of writing that people are used to, but it's great. It's really, really good. And this and Wasteland are pretty much the best things I think he's written. So if you've enjoyed his stuff in the past, you need to try Wasteland and Umbral, because they're both really, really good books. Right, so a couple of books that I really didn't know were coming out this week. I know Jane got one of them, so I'll only really talk mainly about the other one. I had no idea this was something that was going to exist. It's $3.99 from Marvel. It's a number one. It's quite an ugly layout on the cover, actually, but it's George A. Romero's Empire of the Dead. It's written by George Romero. It's kind of set in the world of his zombie movies, and it's illustrated by Alex Maleev. But the cover's a little bit confused because there's a really nice image on the cover. The composition of the art is quite nice. It's of a kind of a zombie who's been who's a bit messed up.
It looks like he's a bit of a whimsical zombie, you know.
Yeah, but the way that the Marvel...
Oh, you need to watch Warm Bodies for whimsy zombies.
Oh yeah, no,
sorry,
that's a ridiculous film. I love it.
Oh, I
ridiculous.
Love that film.
It's like a Twilight take on zombies if Twilight was good and funny and self-referential. It's really good.
And the makers of Twilight should look at it and go, oh, that's what we should have done.
Yeah, we should have realised that what we were doing was a bit silly. But the Marvel logo and the little AR logo and the fact that it says George A. Romero at the top, which suggests that it's George A. Romero's zombies, but maybe he didn't write it.
Yeah, that's...
And then illustrated by Alex Maleev. It's all a bit
weird. It's interesting you say that, because I saw that, piqued my interest, and it was for that very reason that his name's at top that I thought, oh, this is one of those Stephen King adaptations that's not by Stephen King, it's somebody else. And that's exactly what I thought, and I paid it no more thought after that.
It is written by him. And he's
that's cool. I now want to buy
really
it.
Really well. He's actually I've never really thought of him as necessarily a great writer, but it works really well in comic form. I guess he might have been guided quite a lot by Alex Maleev, who's a really good artist and a really good storyteller. Alex Maleev writes a little thank you note to Jorge Zaffino saying he based his art style on him, and you can kind of see it. It looks like Alex Maleev, but it's also the line is a little bit weightier. Very occasionally, I've thought Alex Maleev relies a little bit too much on photo reference. Not that I mind how that makes a panel, the art finish look, but it can make everything look a bit static, and that isn't the case with this. It's really chunky. The city, it's set, I think, 5 years after the zombie outbreak, and it's following a reporter and a guy whose job it is for the mayor of this city that's kind of managed to fend off the zombies. She's embedded with this guy who, she's not a reporter, she's a researcher, and she's embedded with this guy who goes out and gets zombies to fight, to train them to fight in an arena for the survivors in this city. There's a very strong suggestion of the divide between the rich survivors and the poor survivors, which I think was something that came up in Land of the Dead, the more recent Romero film.
Oh, right. I haven't seen that.
It's kind of a similar setting to that. The actual city, it feels a lot safer than you normally get in a zombie film, where it's a small group of survivors having to... There's this society that's kind of built up kind of on the ruins of the other society. So there's a working train, but obviously not everyone can use it because there are parts of the city that are just completely impassable. But into this, there's a really interesting wrinkle thrown, which I'm not going to mention, but it doesn't feel like something that Romero could have done in the films, but it might work in comics, or it might not, or it might completely ruin the franchise for an awful lot of people. But those people need to get a grip. The other book I got this week was just awesome. It was just absolutely awesome, and I got a different cover from the one that Jane got. They're both really good covers.
I do think I like your cover more, though.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got a lot of books this week that had a really matte finish to the cover and the pages, and this was one of them. It's from Image. It's $3.50. It's number one, and it's by...
Rick Remender, with art by Wes Craig and colour by Lee Lowridge.
And it's called Deadly Class, and Jane got it as well, and hers is out of the sleeve, so I'll let her talk about it.
Issue one. It's about we follow a homeless boy who's talking about his life in the streets. Seems like he's had a pretty horrific upbringing. Saw his parents killed before him, and he's turning tricks, not sexual tricks, on the streets.
He's thievering.
Yes, he is. And trying to survive. He does seem to have been singled out by the police and is being followed and watched, and we don't really know why he's being picked up.
Mm.
There is perhaps a bit of an inkling, considering the backstory to his family, but it's not made clear at all. And he is approached by a mysterious girl. I don't want to give too much away.
No.
But Deadly Class, I think, also is a really good title. I think from the title, you know that it's going to be something to do with being taught new things.
The covers, I mean, I completely spaced on the title because the covers are so stylish that I didn't really...
It was only when I got to the end, and then I looked again at the title and was like,
it's quite,
excuse me.
There is a kind of a brooding suggestion. This guy... When we meet him, it's set in 1987.
That's right.
He mentions Reagan being in power a couple of times.
Yeah.
And he's 14,
he's in his mid-teens.
And apparently used to be in care. I think the reason the police are after him might be that there's kind of a... You'd never find out quite why he isn't in care anymore, but there's a suggestion that it might be to do with why he isn't in care anymore, that they're still after him. It's good. It's intriguing, and there's lots of room to fill in his story in the background, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to find if you do ever find out what his name is.
I wondered that, actually.
I can't remember if you do or not.
I don't know if you do.
But he, he's a really good character. The art's gorgeous in this.
It's amazing.
There's some really incredible scenes where they're in, like, a festival. Well, it is a festival, the Day of the Dead, and everyone's dressed up. They've all got like skeleton costumes on and, you know, really elaborate death costumes and things, and it's just really nice mood, and it's the purples and oranges from it being nighttime as well, really, really gorgeous as well. But the actual colour palette throughout the whole book is really good.
Mm.
Really, really liked it. Yeah,
it's really crisp line.
It is. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to more of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because the storytelling and the page layout is quite similar to Emma... The way the story is told is quite similar to Emma Rios on Pretty Deadly. There's lots of really small panels showing you little details and stuff, but the art style is a bit crisper. It's more like Dave Arger or something like that.
Okay.
The slightly weird thing about it is I don't think you've read The Invisibles.
No.
Either of you. It's a Grant Morrison series. And for most of this first issue, it felt like a much zippier, much prettier, and the first issue of The Invisibles was really, it was by Steve Yowell, the art, and it was really lovely. But it kind of feels really similar to that. It's about this kid who's in a state and he's been singled out by these weird forces and you don't really know what's going on there, but the authorities, it's very similar, but not in a derivative way. It's just really cool. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's really good. The second book I got was... Oh, thank you, Nick. Are you done? Yes.
Yes, I'm done.
Sorry. The second book I got was Sex Criminals, which also has a trademark against it. They all have trademarks against them.
They have to do that, otherwise everyone will just call their stuff.
I really paid attention to it.
Now that you've noticed it, you're not going to be able to stop noticing it.
I know, I see on everything.
Does that mean I've got to stop my run of sex criminal branded soaps that I had?
I think as long as you don't use any of the art, you might be all right.
Yeah, that might be the problem.
You also might have to stop just calling yourself James Sex Criminal.
Yeah, you should get those business cards.
I can't do that. It's the police have suggested I have to do that.
Well, this issue, going back to my comic, is called Sex Police.
Yes.
It's issue 4 of Sex Criminals, written by Matt Fraction with art by Chip Darsky. This sees, as it says, about the Sex Police. In the last episode, we saw... Oh, gosh, I've forgotten her name... Her and John.
It doesn't help that in the recap at the beginning, it doesn't help.
I don't think they even say
her name. English. I think it's Susie.
Yeah, Susie. Susie and John were in the midst of a bank heist in their frozen time, which they freeze with their orgasms and they have sex, when they encountered other people that weren't frozen and they were in white suits. We've seen them throughout all three issues so far, but this is a bit more of a story about how John and Susie came... No pun intended.
came
to rob a bank. And it also about the sex police. This book's just so good. You just want
more. It's just
more
so funny.
After
and so
each,
heartfelt. And,
yeah. And real. Like, if, you know, yeah, that could happen. You just feel like they're real characters and that, yeah, these things could really happen to people. It's still full of humour. It's good to see that such a short way into the story, we're already finding out about these mysterious characters that wasn't going to drag on too long, which is quite nice. And it's going to be really interesting to see there's the whole world of people that can stop time and sex. It's going to be interesting.
It's a little bit strange. Yeah, I love it, though.
There's so much more intrigue to it now than there was before, and it's really, really good. Again, writing's amazing, art's incredible, and the colours are sublime. Just the flowing, like, colour streams and light streams when they stop time is just a really nice effect.
Mm. I've been kind of following Chip Starsky online for ages. I can't really say his name properly. For ages and ages and ages. And I always liked his art when you saw it, but mainly you get to know him as this guy who just makes stupid and rude jokes all the time. Like, he's very funny.
Oh, yeah, he is, yeah.
With a cocainey nose.
Yeah, he's very funny, but he's quite situationisty, and he's done videos and stuff as a satirical money advice guy and stuff like that.
Very much, I think, comics Rob Delaney.
I don't know what that means.
Yes, no, I think I agree with James on that.
But I've always liked his art when I've seen it, because he's always been doing that for... he's got a job working for a paper or a news organ or something.
News organ. He's a paper boy.
Yeah. I would not have expected... I was really interested to read a full comic book, full colour comic book from him. I would not have expected it to be one of the best looking books that I'm reading at the moment. It's not just funny, it's gorgeous. It's actually gorgeous, which I wasn't really expecting. Because I'm used to him just pissing about online, to be honest. It's good. I like it. It's like if Charlie Brooker did a romantic drama, but it was like the most serious and like the most beautifully done. You just wouldn't expect it.
Talking about Charlie Brooker, this isn't comics related, but because you brought up Charlie Brooker, mm-hmm. there was an article in The Guardian, I think this week or last week, I can't remember now, about, you know, the Google glasses, mm-hmm. about the Google sex app for the mm-hmm. glasses, where you could switch to see what each other is seeing and stuff like that. And it really reminded me of the episode of Black Mirror where they have the implantable device, which means they can replay what they see. So they
oh,
could...
I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, it's very good. But it was very similar to that. There was a couple of scenes in the actual episode of Black Mirror which made me think of those sex glasses quite a lot. So just because you've got Charlie Brooker, yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe it's not Charlie Brooker I'm thinking of, though. He's not particularly situationist. Maybe I'm thinking Chris Morris or... It's just weird. You wouldn't expect Chip Starsky to do such an awesome job.
Oh,
I can't work out. That doesn't
That's a
sound
really
like a compliment.
Backhanded
does it?
Compliment.
Forget I said it. It's okay. I'll cut it.
Excuse me.
Every time you cough, I like to picture a bulldog smoking a cigar.
It's a real cough, isn't it?
A bulldog
smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
What for the awkward news middle bit?
Rob Liefeld. I've got a bit of national news.
He's comics, Rob Liefeld.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I sometimes think of you as the Rob Liefeld of podcasting.
I can't talk feet. I've got some real news. This is straight off the presses from straight off the news wire.
Hang on.
It says here, British. I'd like that if they did that on BBC Breakfast. It says here, don't know if it's true or not, someone's just written it down for me.
And Natasha Kaplinsky's there going.
No. Natasha Kaplinsky is behind some glass going, let me back in. I made such a foolish mistake.
Let me back in. I've missed the reference.
She went to Channel 5.
I only really know that she was on a Strictly on some reality show. I don't know. Can we stop talking about this?
And then she went to 5, and now no one knows who they. No one talks about Natasha Kaplinsky anymore. The only time she gets mentioned is on 2-bit, really sort of. What would you call us?
Podcast.
Shit.
Would you say that I'm quite old if I'm making references that are that out of date? Then
no, I think if you were saying like Frank Boff. Or Angela Rippon going.
I think you just don't watch much news on BBC.
I don't watch much terrestrial TV.
Angela Rippon blow up light bulb, protesting lesbians.
We really have to get on with the news.
The British Library is going to fuck me.
Can you tell us the news though?
Oh fuck! British gonna yeah no okay Brit. Yeah, British Library.
You've been spending a lot of time in libraries recently.
God, I have. Where is?
They're peaceful.
Yeah.
They're warm. British Library is going to host what is claimed here by the BBC to be the biggest ever British comic exhibition. It says it's funny, isn't it? How in the media, the wider media. It says here, Comics Unmasked, Art and Anarchy in the UK will showcase early works from the likes of Watchmen illustrator Dave Gibbons and writer Alan Moore. Watchmen is still 25 years on.
The one that they always talk about.
Yeah.
It's Watchmen.
God, 30 years
Watchmen
on.
Has become...
Near enough.
Well, people weren't really talking about it in the main media.
No.
Until a few years. Maybe, I don't know. Prior to the last few years of everyone always going on about Watchmen, it was always Biff, Bam, Pow... Maybe there's still a little bit of that.
Well,
but whenever people
picture.
Talked about comics, they were talking about Batman, Adam West, Batman.
That's right.
So it's kind of...
Yeah, that's true. But there'd be other stuff. They name-check some other creators. Apparently there's going to be more than 200 comic books.
Excellent.
Now, I've been to cons, and there's definitely been more than 200 comic books.
I've got more than 200 comic
I think
books.
I have too. So
yeah,
I've got the UK's biggest exhibition under my fucking computer desk.
Can I ask a question about the British Library?
Yeah.
Because I'm confused, because I thought there were lots of British libraries, but...
The one in London.
Is the British Library like one library that's under the ground... And then all of the libraries around the country are just the ways you get into it in all the different cities.
Have you seen...
So you walk in and you're in the British Library.
Have you seen Star Trek Into Darkness?
Yes.
You know the place where Mickey from Doctor Who works?
Yes.
That's the British Library.
But it's not, though. It's a spacey place, isn't
it? Yeah, in
it?
The future.
Right,
but now, okay. At the moment, because they ain't got spaceships in there yet.
Right.
But they have got floating books everywhere.
Okay.
And shit.
So how did they...
Someone's let that bulldog with a cigar back in the studio.
So did they, just to clarify...
But strangely, in my head, the bulldog's got an American accent.
So just to clarify, the comics are going to... They're going to put them in the building after they've put the... Have they rebuilt the building?
No, it's going to get blown up in the future, but they're going to stick all of the comics to the front of a Federation starship.
But I saw that film... like a few months ago, and that's when it blew up.
Yeah, but they filmed it in the future and sent it back.
Right, that doesn't sound possible.
I love Star Trek, but I love all sorts of documentaries.
Do you like anything with Benedict Cumberbatch in?
No.
Because you're Tumblr.
Because I can't...
or Twitter, actually.
I can't get any Sherlock, because on account of life being too short. But it's going to feature more than 200 comic books... Brilliant. From 1825, apparently, to the modern day. So I think that's just before 6:30, isn't it?
Yeah.
And again, they go on to name check other creators. And I think Neil Gaiman, they say, Mark Miller, they say, and Batman writer Grant Morrison. Batman writer.
Well, there you go.
Grant Morrison.
I like Grant Morrison.
Batman writer Grant Morrison.
Of all of those people, he's probably the only one who hasn't completely outraged me. No, actually, even he has. Oh, forget it.
I like Batman writer Grant Morrison too. The exhibition runs from the 2nd of May till the 19th of August.
If all of the comics they had there were like pages from Sex Criminals, they could call it a Sexpedition.
They could do.
Or Sex Criminals and Sex.
200 comics.
When I worked at Forbidden Planet, we had more than 200 issues of X-Men number one. So, I mean, it could just be, like, 180 issues of X-Men number one.
Well,
I think we still got them at Forbidden Planet. I'm coughing now.
You've started a trend, Jane.
Yeah, I need to really cough.
Shall I mention it? I was going to mention David Winney and Sharman's new project.
Yes, because you've been wanting to for weeks.
Yeah, but then David kind of isn't here, even though he's in Southampton. I kind of think, well, he can't be bothered to come and see us. Why should I talk about his new project on our little listen to podcast?
If I had just a little bit more energy, I'd be so angry at you right now. Just mention it. You've been really sad you keep not mentioning it.
Got itchy bits. It's a page a week, isn't it?
I think this might be the most awkward middle bit we've ever had.
And Dave says here in a statement from Twitter, pretty happy with the latest page of spacescapecomic.co.uk, especially considering that I did it just with my feet. So if you want to go and read Dave and Ian's excellent new space adventure comic book...
It's about cake.
Yeah, you can go to spacescapecomic, all one word, .co.uk.
Well, that's confusing.
It's excellent. Written by Ian Sharman and with the pictures done by David. Not as made a win as he used to be because he comes to Southampton. He don't even come see us.
He wanted to come and see us.
Oh,
we're the ones who are being rubbish.
Yeah, well, if he'd wanted to come and see us, he'd be here now and he'd be giving us all of his thoughts. And it'd be a better podcast than this one's turning into.
Space Cape.
Space Cake. Comic.
Spack Escape. It's because it's set on a prison, isn't it?
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of Harry 20 on High Rock. I don't believe Ian Sharman has read that. I could be wrong. I know David has.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Harry 20 on High Rock was great. James. Have you got anything else for the awkward middle bit?
It is spacescape, isn't it? Or is space escape?
No, it's one word. It's spacescape.
Yeah, good. You really made me question myself then.
But it's also, it's got the word escape in it.
It has, yeah.
And the word space.
Well, long compound words often do, don't they?
And the word cape. And the word cake.
Words are a lot of fun, but not at the moment.
And the word ape.
And the word...
It might be about a spacey ape.
It might be. Go and read Ian and David's new comic Space Ape. It's pretty good. It's about this big monkey, and he's in space, and oh God, he's really pissed off about it.
Spacey ape.
His best mate's...
He's wearing a spacey cape.
His best mate's a cigar-smoking American bulldog.
Did he get ape in space?
Yeah.
Can you talk about your spotlight book, please, James?
No.
Is there more news?
No, but there's something I need before I can start talking about it, and you haven't provided it.
Timer.
I do this to a timer now because I like the tension that it gives. I like.
Do you have the countdown theme in your head while you're reading your book, while you're going through your review?
No.
I didn't think countdown would have lasted as long on Channel 4 if the countdowns were 10 minutes long.
No, I know, but just that pressure, ticking noise.
If you
music.
Want to know what I've got going on in my head, it's pretty much Spanish Flea on a continuous loop.
It'll be da 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 da, and it'd just be constant, and everyone would be looking around.
So it's not popcorn then?
No, it's did it for people who don't know what Spanish Flea sounds
like.
Are you ready?
I feel like I've patronised people a little bit.
Are you ready?
I don't care. I can eat into this. It's only a short book. I've only got so much to say about it.
Go.
So, my circumstances, listener, have changed recently. My life is a happy one. I'm quite content with where I am at the moment, apart from I can't see the timer because there's a light shining directly on it. But other than that, I'm a very content and happy man. But I've had to shut down my standing order at FP.
Except for two titles.
Apart from two books, which is Saga and Star Wars. I just can't bear to be parted with them. And occasionally I still go in there each week with Jane. I maybe pick up a pack of My Little Pony trading cards for my daughter, Honest.
Which she just rips.
And I said to Nick and Jane, my circumstances have changed. I'm not going to do the podcast anymore. And they said, no, James. Momcast would be ruined without you and your insightful observations into the comic book medium.
That's almost exactly what I said.
Yeah, exactly. I was reading it off the email you sent me, the tear-soaked email you sent me. So I said to them, I've got an idea, chaps and Jane. I'm going to get a library card. And I'm going to go. We've often talked about libraries promoting comic books and so forth. And John's told us in the past that Southampton Central Library is good for the comic books and stuff, I believe. So I thought, well, I tell you what, I can kill two birds with one stone. I can entertain my daughter occasionally on a Saturday by taking her to the library. It's free and it's warm. Mm-hmm. And also I can pick up some comic books myself. So last Saturday I went down to the comic book. I went down to the library. Didn't go to the comic book shop.
The comic book
listener.
Library.
No, it's Southampton Central Library. I had a great time. Scarlett picked up a book for herself, which she enjoyed very much. I was very impressed with the RF technology that exists to allow you to check out your books in a contactless, self-service manner. Very impressive. And also reasonably impressed with the collection. There's a couple of shelves, basically. Or, sorry, there's two half bookcases.
So one bookcase.
Essentially one big book, one really big bookcase.
Are the half bookcases back to back?
No, they're side by side. There's a weird mix. So you've got like some Marvel and DC Essential Collection type books, some really odd graphic novel choices, trade paperback choices, and then some really eclectic books as well. And to be honest with you, I was drawn to a couple of eclectic titles to start with. There's also a massive selection of manga.
Oh.
So there is every chance that I'm going to dip my toe into the stormy sea of manga at
some
point.
That'll be interesting.
The only thing is I have to be careful how I do it, because it is round with the teen books, and no one really wants to see a big, fat, sweaty 40-year-old man huffing and puffing at the manga comics when the teens are selecting their novels.
Can you just try not to do any annoying, oriental-y voices when you're reviewing those books?
Do you know, the thought hadn't even occurred to me, but I might do that now.
I've heard a few inappropriate people doing oriental voices recently in offices and stuff. I thought people had grown out of that.
Well, that racism apparently isn't acceptable, so they probably shouldn't be doing that.
No. No, I know. But then I was thinking about how Monkey, the TV show, was basically Andrew Sachs and Miriam Margolyes creating their career on the back of that sort of racism.
Fair enough.
And Andrew Sachs did Manuel. He's a bit racist.
I'm not sure that it's racist per se as much as it is xenophobic. But there's such a fine line between xenophobia and racism. And I like the fact that this week people have been trying to make a distinction between anti-Semitism and racism. Anti-Semitism is a type of racism. Idiot people.
It's a type of bigotry. I tend to just go with bigotry.
Bigotry works for me. Yeah.
Anyway, so library. Heartwarming story about the library. Have you taken it to the gallery yet?
No, not yet. I'm saving that because it's free and it's warm. So I first book I'm going to talk about I got out from the library, and it's lovely, lovely plastic cover, is a Dark Horse book, which has a cover price here of $14.95 US. And is Grendel Archives, which collects the early editions of Grendel. So a book that was a backup in a magazine called Primer, and then three Grendel books that were...
Sorry.
What?
I'm just baffled by the fact the ticket is still in the front, even when it has a barcode. I thought, well, maybe they use it to barcode it, but there's a barcode... Further on in the book.
They just haven't ripped it out, that's all.
I want to rip it out of the book.
Don't
so
rip
bad.
It out. It's changed. It's changed. You have to pay for the
I
whole
shall
book.
Not rip yeah. it out of the book, but I really want to.
And really, if I have to start paying for the books that I borrow from the library, I might as well just carry on buying books and accept that I'm never going to eat again.
Well, if I broke it, I'd pay for it.
That's no, well, you'd pay for it by me getting... even more stroppy with you than I normally do. And obviously being a library book, there are random stickers all over the place. So it's a collection of, as I say, it was a backup in a magazine called Primer. And then it was released, oh my goodness, I forget the name of the comic book company that released.
Is it Comico or someone?
Yes, thank you. It was Comico released, before they went bust, bless them, released three Grendel comic books. It wasn't until the 25th anniversary of Grendel that this collection was published. Mm-hmm. There was some speculation, I believe, that Matt Wagner was uncomfortable with publishing this early work. Mm. Apparently he claims that's not true. He stands by it. He's perfectly happy with it. Obviously, Grendel has gone on to have a life of its own with many different sort of inhabitors of the mask.
Weird how that universe has evolved, actually, yeah. But that's for a different time, probably. Yeah.
But this is all Hunter Rose as Grendel. And basically, the majority of the book is us being introduced to Hunter and being introduced to Argent, his a nemesis. In this, he's a werewolf, a Native American, cursed Native American who's a werewolf, who was cursed by Mowgli.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mogwai. Sorry,
Mogwai, Mowgli.
No, Mowgli's character from the Jungle Book. Completely
so Mogwai from Gremlins?
No, a Mogwai.
All right.
Who was a Native American god. And he roams the book. Basically, they're both assassins. And Hunter Rose is a playboy writer, but also, it seems, the world's greatest assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And this these collected stories introduce us to Hunter, give us his backstory, why he became Grendel, and also how he becomes essentially the boss of the assassins mm-hmm. in this universe, which isn't brilliantly developed. Obviously, written and... drawn by Matt Wagner. It's very interesting, as much as anything, very interesting to see his art style develop here. Mm-hmm. It starts with very sort of very rounded art, very sort of feels very much late 70s, early 80s in terms of the overall style. And words like naive keep popping into my mind in terms of the style, but I think that would be unfair.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look unlike the sort of indie fare that we're used to buying ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, it looks like the sort of art that's like clearly done by a talented person who's rushed for time and also developing their style,
mm-hmm.
Which is lovely. It gets so much better as it goes on. He plays with the form and the structure of the page, which is really fascinating. And he can actually see a very talented comic book creator. He can see their comic book chops evolving as these sort of four stories go on.
Mm-hmm.
The stories themselves they feel full of youthful exuberance. Mm-hmm. if not full of the sort of depth that you'd expect from a Wattmagna story now. So they're quite verbose, quite over the top. Lots of sort of segues from one emergency, one sort of confrontation to another.
That was the 80s, though, man.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But also punctuated by this fascinating backstory of how Hunter was influenced by this older woman who has a terminal disease, and it's her passing that inspires him to become Grendel. Mm-hmm. But he leaves home and meets her in the UK because he's a champion fencer. But he comes back and he glibly shrugs off his parents' passing, which is...
He's like the anti-Batman.
He's
kind of developed that way a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly how he feels in this. It's a really fascinating look at a moment in time as far as the development of indie comics is concerned and the development of a great talent within the medium that we enjoy already. I believe it's still in print. You can still find it. It is well worth searching out because it's great fun. And as the first book I read from the library, I thought it was a very enjoyable one indeed.
Successful start.
And I want to read more Grendel.
Excellent. Yes, well done. I haven't turned my phone down. Well done. That was amazing.
Thank you.
I guess it remains for us to see what everyone's doing this coming week. There's something that we started doing this week. Amy has been playing a PopCap game called Zuma, which I think I mentioned in Two Grown Men this week. But it's really interesting watching her playing a video game because she doesn't normally. It's like an action puzzler game. But I discovered that Xbox Live, if you've got an Xbox Live Gold account, like the paid one, I think, they've started giving, and they must have only just started doing this recently, they're giving you two games a month.
Games with free. Gold.
Yeah,
which
they've
been
doing it for a while.
Have they? I did not know about it.
Yeah.
So I've obviously missed out
we
on
have
loads.
A lot of really good games from there.
Yeah, so I got Tomb Raider and that was exciting. A Tomb Raider two-player game. But we've just started playing Walking Dead together, the first season of that, because that's free on Xbox Live. And it's interesting. It's not what I'd consider a game if I was playing it on my own. It's very much conversation trees and very simple, like gameplay, few quick time events and stuff. But apparently the consequences of your actions play through the episodes.
Yep, that's right.
And so what we're doing is I'm controlling and Amy's making the conversation decisions. At the moment, I think she's quite concerned about getting the right answer because she's not really a video game player and she's worried that I'll think she's uncool. But I really think she's uncool, so it's...
Yeah, well, she marries you, so we all think she's uncool.
Yeah, exactly.
What a lame thing to do.
So we'll be doing a bit more on that, and it's her, more of that, and it's her birthday at the weekend, so we're going away, taking her away, so that's good. Hopefully, if Noah isn't crying too much. What are you guys doing? Jane first.
Yeah, apparently me next. We are going to see David and Amanda.
Oh!
And John and Anna on Saturday.
Oh, that's nice. Well, sorry for everyone except me.
You're coming.
I'm not seeing them.
You are coming.
Yeah, I bet you are. But you're secretly going away to see David, aren't you?
No.
James will be there.
Rice and peas.
He's told me he'll be there.
Yeah, probably.
Whingy.
Trying to get out of it. I'm feeling very antisocial at the moment. I love David and Amanda, but God, I just want to go home and go to bed. Really.
Mm. You can do that afterwards. Sure. And busy Saturday during the day, doing lots of stuff, and I'm sure Sunday will be busy too.
Hmm.
I'm trying to talk really quickly because I'm going to cough.
Okay. Do you want to cough now?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Woof, woof.
Yes, I have some... the other thing I'm going to do this weekend is I'm working towards my professional qualification. Woo. So I'm trying to... So I want to get that done, and my reward is that I will spend just 4 days solid playing GTA 5.
Oh, nice.
I know, but it feels like it's never going to happen at this rate. I keep getting ill, and I'm like, oh, I can't do any more of my work. So this weekend I'm hopefully going to troop through a lot of it and...
break through the wall.
That GTA 5 bender is just around the corner.
I think that's what Pink Floyd were talking about when they said tear down the wall. Tear through the wall of getting your studies done.
Okay.
And then you'll be able to play the game.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely wasn't Roger Waters working through his daddy issues. It was
so anyway, James, what are you going to be doing this week?
Well, you don't seem interested, so I don't feel inclined to tell you.
Frankly, you two will be seeing David, Amanda, John and Anna this weekend.
Yeah, I'll probably go out and see. I should have gone first because I was going to make up some sort of rambling piece of whimsy around that. What do you think they're doing right now, John, Anna, David and Amanda?
Preparing to go out, no let down.
Are they going to their gig?
Do you think they're all putting on their rock clothes together?
In the makeup?
I like to think they're all in one room putting on studded, you know, what's they called? Those wristbands, the leather
bracelets.
Studded. Yeah, and sort of putting on like a bit of eye shadow, whatever it is, rocky people
all four
do.
Of them.
Yeah, like but in a room together, they're all like silently rocking up together.
Is that what you imagine?
And then when they're done, they cross their arms behind above their heads and say, "Go team rock."
And they have a voodoo doll of James and they stab it constantly. That's what his pain in his foot is.
Oh, and not in his psyche, just the pain in his soul.
No, the pain in my foot's an ingrown toenail, Jane.
We will rock you, isn't it?
Is it the
cross
thing? Or the hammers from the wall again?
We don't waste no time at all. We're just waiting for the hammer to fall. That was Freddie Mercury.
And I'll be just, you know, just living my life. Really.
Will you? I don't believe you.
We got something exciting lined up for next week on the Mumcast, though, right?
Yes.
Right, guys?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something exciting for next week on the Mumcast. Let's get an upbeat for the end. Something exciting for next week.
Timothy Swanathy.
Live in the studio, live by popular demand.
I have to sort out another microphone. I'll put that on the list.
Whatevs.
Let me just...
Oh, gee, that's it. That's
doing,
it.
Doing some that's administration
let,
at the end
let
of
the fucking
podcast.
Air out at the end of the podcast. Oh, Jesus Christ.
See, now he's made it sound like it's a hassle.
Here I am. I put the 20p in the machine. I've been pumping it up. I thought, right, 32 psi we're end.
I'm recording this app, Wonderlist. It's helping me remember how to do everything.
Sounds like an excellent app, Nick. What's it called again?
It's called Wonderlist.
Wonderlist.
It says book studio for two grown men, book studio for Momcast. Get campus card, haven't done that yet.
Remember to care.
That's the thing I have. I've set it on a daily reminder.
It would appear that Momcast is quite literally brought to you by Wonderlist. I've got a daily reminder. It says pills with 3 exclamation marks.
Listener, thank you as always for your patience.
But not you, David.
Do leave us a comment and get in, and talk to us on Twitter and all of that because that'd be awesome. And I guess that's us done.
Bye-bye.
I'm smiling and I was half expecting it to come up as a sound on there. I just smiled and I thought, oh. And then I was like, no, smiles don't sound. They don't make a sound.